out, please, because I'll be honest with you, I just want to sit there and listen to Kate and Faith and JoJo. I just want to hear them sing. You know, I'm a strong believer in the things of God, and I'm a strong believer in the Bible. Are you?
Amen.
You know, the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit of God by speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns.
Amen.
And spiritual songs, and making a melody to the heart, to the Lord in your heart. And I'm a strong, strong believer that your faith is built on a couple things. One is the Word of God, and the one is the worship of God.
Amen.
And the worship is praying, singing, lifting up our holy hands to God, thanksgiving, giving to God something that's built up inside here. And if you have nothing to give to God, it means you have nothing built up inside of here, which basically means you don't know Him. You don't understand the gospel that you're really wicked. All of you are. All of us are. When we compare ourselves just to the Ten Commandments alone, we've broken everyone. Don't say, no, I haven't. Yes, you have.
Amen.
You've broken everyone. And when you read your Bible and you says, and the Apostle Paul says, be not deceived. Don't let any man deceive you by any means. No whoremongers get into heaven. No idolater. No wicked person. No drunkard. No liars. Jesus died and suffered a horrible death to change you. To take away your sin. To get you away from sin. To take sin out of our lives. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And if there's no change, and if sin isn't hated by you, something's wrong. But you know who loves you? The Lord loves you.
Amen.
He loves us all.
Amen.
See, there's coming a day, the Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment.
Right.
Death is not the end. Death is a very scary beginning. Death is when you're going to be held accountable for everything you did on this earth. Everything. Everything. The wicked are those who won't receive Christ, won't humble themselves, won't totally and fully submit themselves to God. You can't halfway submit yourself to God. You can't halfway get saved.
Right.
It's all or nothing.
Right.
I've decided to follow Jesus on that end of that. Jesus changed my life like He did change your life. And that's what He does. He's real. God's real.
Amen.
And when God enters into you, He changes you. And one thing He does is he humbles you. And He makes you realize that if it wasn't for Him and His love and His grace, I'd be in hell. I belong in hell. It's hard for some of you. You belong in hell. You know why? Because if you took us the way we are right now and put us in heaven, we would ruin heaven. We would be jealous of people that are closer to Jesus. We'd be jealous of people that are getting more attention. We would start talking about someone. We'd say, why is so-and-so here? Don't you know what they did? We would ruin heaven. Do you understand that? Well, God understands it. So right now, God is giving us a chance to get right. He's giving us a chance to hear the truth and let the truth make us free from what the devil's trying to lie. Heather, it's great seeing you. Glad you're here. Amen. I was thinking about you, praying for you. I saw there's so many people not here today, and it bothered me a lot because I've been praying for them, and I've been praying for the service, and I know what a blessing they are because I care about the church. I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. I'm not here for just you. I'm here for God because God told me to come here. But God doesn't need us and He doesn't need me. But the church and the world needs you. Your families need you. The town needs you. Your children and your family need you. Your neighbors need you. And they don't need the old you. They need Jesus Christ you. Amen? And so therefore we gather together in the house of God, and the church is the most important thing. I know you don't believe this. And I know maybe you do, maybe you're getting there, but you will get there one day when you realize how important the church is. Because what the church is the body of Jesus Christ on this earth. What the church is Jesus is the head and we are the body parts. We are members together, and together we make up Jesus on this earth. And the only way anyone can ever be saved, not go to hell, is through Jesus. So therefore, we bring the people together so that others can hear Jesus, see Jesus, feel Jesus, know Jesus. And the most important thing is the church. And it bothers me when people don't realize that, because then they don't give enough attention to the things that God wants them to do. But here we have a man, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We have a man of God I would call the greatest apostle. I would call the greatest Christian to ever walk the earth. His name was Paul. Paul of Tarsus. I think his last name was Wilps, but I'm not sure. Paul was named Saul. And Saul was a very religious man. And he, when he heard about the Christians trusting Jesus, talking about Jesus, he got mad and he tried to kill them. He sent them in prison. He did everything he could. And then what happened was, is Jesus showed up on a day, sunny day, when he was going to Emmaus, and he was on riding on a horse. He knocked him off his high horse and he blinded him. And he said these words. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom you persecute." And he said, "What do you want me to do?" And that's the first thing we should all say when Jesus saves us. We say, "What do you want me to do?" It should be the very first thing we say. "Jesus, you saved me." How many people have heard the voice of God when you got saved? Well, if you haven't, then you need to hear the voice of God. How do you hear the voice of God? Get close to him. Draw nigh to him. Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. Call upon him while he was near, the Bible says. It says, seek the Lord with all your heart. You will find him. And here we have in 2 Timothy, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, of course, but it's only a few chapters. It's only four chapters. And the thing is this is the last words. This is the last thing Apostle Paul ever wrote. This is the last words of the Apostle Paul. And the title of the message is called The Last Days. Because what this message is about and what this book is about is the last days of Jesus. The last days of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he didn't write any more letters because right soon after he wrote this, they killed him. They cut his head off. I want to just say this. These four chapters are the last days of the most amazing Christian man, the Apostle Paul. These are his last writings. They're written to Timothy, his dearly beloved son in Christ. The last days of this great apostle were in a damp, wet prison by the river Tiber in Rome, where the only door was a ceiling. That was a hole in the ceiling. They would let things down. He had no bathroom. He had no running water. It was damp, wet from the river. He had no comforts whatsoever. And these were his last days he spent on earth in a prison. Do you understand what I'm saying? And all his friends left him. You can read it for yourself. All his minister friends left him. The only one left was Luke. Luke stayed by him. Worried about him. But here in his writing, these are the last days of the Apostle Paul, and I want you to see what he cared about in his last days. Because all of us are going to have last days. I'm telling you right now, we're in the last days. We are in the very last days of the church. At any moment, God could say, "That's enough," and blow the trumpet, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and meet the Lord in the air. Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, like that, we're gone, it's all over. Your life as a Christian's over. Your life as a faith is over. Your works and everything you could ever do is over. And at that moment, the Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the what? The judgment. And we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're all going to be judged for what we did in this body. Not our sins, but all the things we did for God, whether they be good or bad. And the bad's going to be burned up and all the good's going to be left. And the only thing you really did, and we learned this in Sunday school. You should never miss Sunday school. You learn a lot in Sunday school. And then forever and ever, you're going to have those rewards. And I'm here to tell you right now, Apostle Paul knew all this. And he cared more about you than he cared about himself. He cared more about the church than he cared about himself. He cared more about the gospel than he cared about himself. I want you to realize that at this time of his death, he was in prison waiting for his death sentence. For what? Preaching the gospel. For preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is written around 68 AD. And it's 64 AD, only 4 years earlier, was the great fire in Rome, where Nero, they say, played the fiddle. Actually, what they said is he was playing music about the fall of Greece or something like that. But they say that he started the fire because he wanted to rebuild things. No one knows for sure. But this is the great fire in Rome. And here, 4 years later, is what's happening right here, written right here. And you know why he's in prison? Because what Nero did is he blamed the Christians for the fire. Two-thirds of the city was burnt. People lost their homes, their jobs, everything they had. And what he did is blame the Christians. So a great persecution started. First they got Peter, put him in prison. They crucified him upside down. Then they got Paul and they put him in prison and they cut his head off. And Apostle Paul in his last days and Peter in their last days, they all wrote. And they wrote their last letter. If you want to really hear the heart of a man that loves you and cares about you, you need to read those letters and see what they cared about in their last days. I'm here to tell you that this great persecution of the church was just the beginning of what Rome was started to do to the Christians. Paul wasn't concerned about himself. He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about the church. He was concerned about the church. He was concerned about the body of Christ. He was concerned about the bride of Christ. He was concerned about me and you. Because he knew that once he's dead, there's no one going to be like him on this earth. And he was worried. So he wrote a letter to Timothy, begging Timothy, please, Timothy, do some things. Please, Timothy, be some things. The people need it. And I'm here to tell you, right now, in the last days of the church era, we need some Apostle Pauls. We need some Timothys. We just need, how about this? We just need some Christians. I'm not asking to be Apostle Paul or Peter or James or John or Martin Luther. But how about be a Christian? Can anyone in this room today stand up and just be a Christian? That's what we're called to be. That's what we need to be. And that's what this letter is all about. He cared about the church, the bride of Christ. I wrote this down. It's true. The world's only hope. The only hope America has is the church. The only hope your family has is the church. The only hope your neighborhood has. The only hope this world has is the church, the light of the world. The people that love Jesus, proclaim Jesus, and preach the word of God. Without the church, there's nothing but darkness. The church is very, very important. That's how important you are. Each and every one of you are that important. I want you to realize how important you really are. And how important it is when you miss out on a church service. It's important. Someone comes in and look around, oh, there's not that many people here. I'm going to go down to the Methodist church. And you might say, oh, it's a big deal because Methodists stopped preaching the Bible. They have homosexual pastors. They have women pastors. They're not going to preach against the word of God. So therefore that light has gone out. Read your Bible. Read about the New Testament. In the book of Revelation, Jesus said, I give you a chance to repent. If you won't repent, I'm taking your candlestick away. There's no light. Right now, the candlestick's burning, the light's burning, get near the fire, amen? 2 Timothy chapter 2, look with me in verse 1, read down a little bit. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of the tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in thy mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded then in thee also. I love that verse. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. When I call to remembrance you, Timmy. Sorry. That's Paul called him Timmy. Timothy, when I think about you, I just think about how what a man of faith you are. Of the faith that you had. Whenever there was anything that had to be done, you were there. Whenever there was anything that had to be said, you would say it. You would pick it up. You were a man of faith. And that's the first thing people are going to see is your faith. People don't care how much money you make. People don't care about what you say. They care about the faith that they see. And he says, where did you get it from? I believe you got it from your grandmother. Grandparents, you are awesome. We should have grandparents month. Or maybe year. How about a whole year of grandparents? All grandparents said? Amen. Thank you very much. I'm a grandparent. That's what I'm saying. What's that? Not babies? No. No. No, includes babies coming over and sitting on our laps and then going home with their parents, with their kids. But he said from your grandmother and your mother. Think about that, how important it is families bring their kids to church. How important it is that you raise your children in church. Because if you don't raise them in church, they're going to be raised out there. You don't teach them the things that God is in this book, they're going to be taught the things in school. You don't teach them the things that God tells you to teach them, the devil's going to teach them exactly what he wants. Keep reading. Look what it says in verse 6. Wherefore, I want you to look what he cares about. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God that is in thee by putting on my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Man, oh man, do we need that. There's more mental illness now than, I mean, there's guys that think they're girls. There's girls that think they're guys. There's people that think they're animals. This world is mental. This world is mental. And guess what? The church is mental too. I don't mean our church. We got a lot of nuts in here, so it's okay. I'm one of them, amen? But at least I'm not a fruit. I'm nuts. That's a joke. Thank you very much. Three people got it. Thank you. Amen. But there's churches out there that Apostle Paul was worried about happening. And there's churches out there with rainbow flags, Skittle flags, and all this stuff. That's not a church. That they compromised, and they are what they're told to be by another higher power, which is Satan. And it's sad because Apostle Paul, in his last days, he knew that this was going to happen. So he wrote a letter to Timothy and told him a couple instructions. We'll look at that in a minute. Let's keep reading. He says in verse 8, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That person's louder than me. And I have a microphone. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Look what it says. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I'm going to just stop right there. I want you to realize this great letter was written to encourage Timothy to stand firm in the faith and the integrity of God's word. These two things, what you can read yourself later on, these four little easy chapters, you read it in no time. I want you to understand the two main themes that he wants Timothy, his understudy, the man that he knew was going to be a preacher, the Christian man that he knew had faith, he wanted him to stand firm in the faith. Don't waver. Stand firm. And in the integrity of the Bible. The integrity of what the Word of God is. Some of you here don't understand that the Word of God is perfect, pure, and holy. Some of you don't understand that it's not just perfect, pure, and holy, but it's alive and it's inspired. And there's only one book. There's not three. There's not four. There's not ten. There's only one. One. And I did my study. You need to do your study. I spent 2 years finding out, is the King James Bible really the Bible that God won? And I found out it absolutely is. And until you study to show yourself approved, you won't know which one is true. And all I know is that God promised and said, my word is pure. He said, my word endures to all generations. That's what God said. God said that he would preserve his word for everybody. So if he promised that and he said that, I know he did that. So which Bible is it? And I'll tell you right now, if you'll do your own study, you'll come back. There's no book like this. Amen. I was talking to my grandson up in Alaska last night. I got to talk to Michael. And he's going to a church. It's got a big church in Alaska. He said, but they don't use the King James. But he said there's only that and a Baptist church that has like six people in it and they're all like 80. So he said, I don't feel like hanging out with the old people, so I'm going with the young people. He said, their doctrine's pretty good, but they don't use the King James all the time. And he said, but I do, because I understand it. He said, so sometimes we were having Bible study, and I get up, and other people be reading their Bibles, and it sounded like someone just talking. He said, then I get up and read the scripture, and people go, wow, that really sounds different. It's got power behind it. And he went, yeah, hello. And that's the thing is, What's going to happen is the devil, first thing he's going to get you to do is not stand firm in the Word of God.
Right.
And once you compromise on the Word of God, the devil's got you. Once he had told Eve, he said, yeah, see, didn't God say you could eat of every tree? And she said, yeah, I can eat of all the trees, but that one, God said, if I even touch it, I'll die. And God never said you could touch it. He just said, don't eat it. And so the devil knew that he got her. And she went, and after he said, no, you are not going to die, she touched it, realized I didn't die. And then she ate it, and sin came into the world. Amen? I'm here to tell you right now that Apostle Paul, his last days, he cared about the church not wavering. He cared about the church standing firm. He cared about me and you keeping our faith. Because he knew it was going to happen. This great letter was written to encourage Timothy to stand firm in the faith and in the integrity of God's word. Look in verse 13 with me. Verse 13 in chapter 1, it says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love and in Jesus Christ. Hold fast the form of sound words. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see, and then he says, endure hardness as a good soldier. His last days were spent worrying about the church. And all he's asking is be strong in the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Be strong in the faith that you have right now. Some of you have little faith. And even in the last letter to the church says, you have little faith. Hold fast that which you have. Don't let anyone take the little bit of faith that you have. I want you to realize, look in chapter 4. Look in 1 and 2 and verse 4. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing his kingdom. Look what he says. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Because Apostle Paul in his last days knew this, Joe. For in the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. You know what a fable is? That God can't keep his word pure. You know what a fable is? That it doesn't matter if you come to church or not. You know what a fable is? That you are not that important. These are all lies. I'm here to tell you, Apostle Paul, his last days. Apostle Paul, in these last days, he finished his course. He knew that his time was up. Look in 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to fight the good fight. You know, thank you very much. Round one. How many rounds are you ready to take? I can't wait to see Tyson fight that other dude, whatever he is, Paul something. And I hope he knocks his head off. I just do. It doesn't matter. You can like the other guy. You can hate boxing. I don't really care. I'm just telling you. But it's a fight. You know, my only concern is Tyson is old. He's, what is he, 58? He's almost 60, right? And I'm a little older than that. And I know that I can pack a punch, but not for that long. You get tired. You get wore out. So if he's got to go some rounds, he's going to get tired. That's the only way. But he's strong and he's going to get it. My point is, how many rounds of this world, of this life, can you take? This young lady, 18, is that right? She's old. 20 years old. Sorry. She got up there and gave a testimony of how a time in her life almost knocked her out. A time in her life when she was fighting the good fight, she almost gave up. She almost quit. And some of you out there are like that. You just feel like quitting. And God, as Apostle Paul and the Lord is telling us, don't quit. Fight the good fight because it's worth it. He said, you're not swinging at the air. You're fighting the good fight of faith. And that's what he's worried about. He's concerned about the church people giving up. He's concerned about the church people not having a fight left in them. Because you know what? You are in a fight, whether you know it or not. You're in a battle. You're in a battle for good against evil. You're in a battle for your souls. You're in a battle for your families, for your children, for our nation, for the world. And we are the ones that God has called to fight. And look what he says. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. God has given each and every one of us a course. You know what that course means? God says, here's the track I have you on. Just run. or walk, but don't lay down and quit. You're going to get through the course one day, and it's going to be your last days. And I'm telling you right now, each and every one of us are going to have last days. We're going to be in the last days of our lives. And I guarantee you, you're going to be like Paul. You're not going to be thinking about, oh man, I wish I could have worked another day. Oh, I wish I could have gotten another job and made another 50 bucks. You're never going to think that. Oh man, I wish I had my 401k up. I wish the stock market was up. You're not going to be thinking any of that on your last days. You're not going to be thinking about your vacation homes. You're not going to be thinking about your car. You're not going to be thinking about your gun collection. I mean, you might a little bit, but you're going to be thinking about what's most important in your life at the time. And you know what that is? Your family and those you're leaving behind. That's what you're going to think about. And that what the biggest concern is going to be, because I'm talking to Christians now, your biggest concern is going to be, I'm going to meet Jesus. I hope and pray my wife and children meet Jesus too. I hope and pray my mom and my dad. I hope and pray my sisters and my brothers. I hope and pray my neighbors. I hope and pray that they. And that's why God has given us a chance right now to reach them. He's given us a chance right now to invite them into church. But if you don't think it's important, why would they? If you don't think reading your Bible and studying and witnesses, why would they? You see, that's the whole point, is that the devil doesn't want you to fight the fight. He doesn't want you to stay the course. He doesn't want you to finish to the end. He wants you to give up or just cruise along and think it's okay. I've kept the faith. You're going to keep the faith? At the end of your days, at the last days, your last days, you're going to keep the faith. You're going to give up. It's really important to say that. If you look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, look in verse 1 and 2, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Why? Why, Apostle Paul? "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." What? Holy jumping Jehoshaphat. People are going to care about themselves more than God? No, that'll never happen, Kate. Not around here. Yeah, I know. You want to know why half the people aren't here? Because it's a sunny day. And it's in the 70s. We haven't had one of them yet this year. I'm going to the park. Let's go. But it's the Lord's day. It's okay. I'll just get the next one. And then Kate comes and JoJo comes and Faith comes and they sing amazing songs just for the church to get you through another day. So you can be stronger in the Lord. So you can fight the good fight of faith. So you can be revived in your spirit. Amen? And then they miss it. And what if Jesus showed up today? What if Jesus showed up and took us all with him? And then they showed up next Sunday and nobody's here. I know. Isn't that be something? Look what it says. It says, verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Never. That could never happen. "Unthankful?" Not in this church. "Unholy?" Yeah, right. We're holy, aren't we? Let's keep reading. "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." It tells us in verse 7, "ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Look in verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And he tells Timothy and us, "But what we need to do is continue thou in the things which you have learned, and thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them." I'm here to tell you right now, Apostle Paul, in those last days, he cared about the people falling away. He cared about the church. He cared about the church getting weak. He cared about the Christians loving themselves more than loving God. Please let that sink in. Caring about you more than you care about him. Let me give you an example. Do you ever get your feelings hurt? You ever get upset? When I looked out and I saw like 7 families not here, and I was like sad. I was down. And then I was praying, and then you know what the Lord said to me? The same thing other people said to me. It's not about the ones that aren't here, it's about the ones that are here. And then I looked out and I saw Victoria, and I got really happy. And then I saw Heather. I got really happy because these were people that I didn't think were here. I start looking. I'm like, Lily and Christian weren't here. I'm like, why are they not here on this day when they're always here? And then they're having a baby shower and they're not showing up for church. I couldn't understand. I was down. Then they showed up. I was up. Why is Apostle Paul on his last day concerned about that? Because he cares about you. Because God cares about you. Amen. He cares about each and every one of you. You're so important. You have no idea how important you are. If the devil can get me down and get me off, he'll ruin a whole church and a whole ministry. And thousands of people probably won't hear the gospel because of it. And if he can get you down, your family will go to hell. Your loved ones will never know Jesus Christ. That's why Apostle Paul's begging you in his last days. He's not thinking about him in his wet dungeon. He's thinking about you right now. And he's saying, please keep the faith. Stay strong. Amen. Don't give up. Don't let men deceive you. Keep the faith. Someone needs to say amen right there. You know what we got? It says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. YouTube. YouTube is a curse and a plague on the church. Does it have good in it? Yeah, but so did the tree of good and of knowledge of good and evil. So yeah, it's sprinkled with good, but most of it's of Satan. Because people listen to YouTube and they get their knowledge from YouTube and they believe in everything. Aliens, flat earth, you name it, they believe it because they heard it somewhere on YouTube. Some guy on YouTube said this, it must be true. Well, I know some guy that said this and I know it's true. I want you to think about what Apostle Paul's thinking about. His last days, your last days. What are you really going to be thinking about in your last days? You're not going to be thinking about, I wish I worked more. You're not going to be thinking about, I wish I would have told my son more about, you know, the Avengers. I wish I'd have taken him hunting more, fishing more. You're not going to think about that. You're going to think about them and their eternity. Because heaven's real. Hell's real. Jesus Christ is real. The devil's real. There's one truth on this earth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I'm the way and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's not about your church you belong to. It's about, do you belong to Jesus Christ? It tells us this, that he cared about the church and the person who you're trusting in. Apostle Paul cared more about Jesus than anyone else that I know. And he cared about you believing a lie and being deceived. And this is why in his last days, his last words, his last breath, he wanted to stir us up. He said, I want to stir you guys up. You know who else was said the same exact things? Peter in his last days. Look over in 2 Peter with me. The last words of a dying man, Peter. If you look in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Now this is last words of Peter. The last words of a dying man before he was crucified upside down. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, yeah, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I'm still alive in this body, even as it says, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. What Apostle Paul in his last days, and what Peter, the Apostle Peter, in their last days, in their last words, said, I want to stir you guys up. You need to be stirred up. You need your faith stirred up. You need Kate to come in and start singing. Amen. You need this altar open to start bowing. You need preaching to start being fiery and get you lit up. You need something to stir you up. Stir up. The church needs to come alive. We need to wake up. How do you do that? By sitting there falling asleep when I'm preaching loud? No. See, people say, you're loud, Pastor. You know what I say? It's because I see people snoring. If I saw them like this, I would talk lower. If I heard more amens, I would speak shorter. If I heard more amens, I'd get you out here by 2 minutes after 12. That is a lie. Sorry. Lord, forgive me. That is a lie. But look what Peter says. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, Peter says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by a way of remembrance, that you would be mindful of the words which were spoken. The last days of Paul and the last days of Peter, Anton, were the same thoughts. They knew that the people would start losing faith. They knew that people were going to come in from outside. They called them wolves. and in sheep's clothing, amen? And they knew that people were going to come outside and start to get them to compromise, get them not believe the things that Jesus Christ in his book taught. The foundation of the church is Jesus Christ, who changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It isn't, well, it's 2024. The pastor should be spiking his hair and wearing jeans with rips in them. The pastor should have shorts on and sandals and a... I'm serious. I watch these guys on TV and they dress the same. They got the untucked on and they're down here in the jeans because they're cool. They got to be cool now.
Don't forget the tattoos.
Oh, yeah. Got to have tattoos and maybe an earring too because, you know, it's 2024, one of them. We got to have a rock band. We can't have just Kate and Faith and JoJo show up. I'd rather have that than anything else. That touches my spirit and my soul. Music and getting up and singing, it touches my body also. And my mind. And my soul. I love music. No one loves it more than me. But I'll tell you right now, these churches that have rock bands up there, they have lights and strobe lights. But the weird thing is, and I'm not even talking bad about it. I'm just talking about this part of it. Every single one of them I see all dressed the same. They got the ripped jeans, T-shirts. Why do they wear T-shirts? Why do I rip jeans? Can anyone explain it to me? They go to their job, they wear a suit and tie, or they go to court, but they come in the house of God, and they're like, yo, big daddy, what's up? Yo, papa, my big man upstairs, man, I'm going to sing you a song. Matter of fact, I'm going to rap it out. And people think that's church. Where'd they learn that from? Seriously, they learned it from you, Brian? Brian waved his hand. Well, that's okay. Going to on Eagles wings, you know. If they're in the Super Bowl, you can wear that under your suit and tie. No. It's not the suit and tie. It's the attitude. It's the attitude. It has nothing to do with this. It has to do with I love Jesus. I'm going to dress up. It's like I was coming to your house for dinner. And your mom and your aunts and uncles there. And I show up in sandals, shorts, and a T-shirt. Just throw me out. I want to hurry up. He wants us to stir up in these last days. Right. He wants us to have faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants us to have faith in the church, that the foundation that was laid 2,000 years ago and hasn't changed. He wants us to have faith in the Holy Scriptures. And these last days, men shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, saying you cannot have the word of God. The Bible has errors. It's outdated. It's not true. It doesn't matter what translation you use. Falling faith is failing faith. In what? God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Remember this, 3:16. It says, I got 1 Timothy. It says this, it says, all scripture, every word is pure. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is inspired. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. The word of God is pure and holy. You know why? Because the word of God's alive. It tells us in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. The word of God is alive and it is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, dividing asunder soul and spirit and joint marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. Please don't fall away from the word of God. Please don't fall away from the church and the purpose you have. The word of God is alive because Jesus is alive. Amen?
Amen.
In these last days, he cared more about the church, Apostle Paul did. He cared more about the body, he cared more about the bride, and he cared more about the book than anything else. In our last days, like I said, what are we going to care about? We're going to care about our children? I think you will. You're going to care about your loved ones? I believe you will. You're going to care about going to heaven? I believe you will. What about the rest of the world? Who's going to care about them? That's what the church is here for. The church is here is to be reproved by God, by the word of God, and to be conformed to the image of Christ through the word of God. and to be commands on us to go to all the world and preach this gospel, to send money to missions. And I want to thank you for that missions check. Sending money to missions and go and praying for missionaries, because we shouldn't just care about our family. We should care about your family and your family's family. We should care about our neighborhoods, and we should care about this country. So anybody care about America? God bless America. Amen. How do we do that? We're the church. We're the church. We are the church. Amen. And Apostle Paul knew that the church was going to get weaker. The body, the bride in the book, I like to say, on our last days, we're going to care about the things that we think about. We're going to care about the things that is most important to us. And it will not be work, vacation, home, or your car. We'll reflect on our lives and what we've done or what we haven't done. And what is most important to us, to those who you'll leave behind. Those who may or may not end up in heaven with you. Those that you wish you told about Jesus. Those that you wish you had a do-over. But right now, you're alive. And right now, the church is still alive. And right now, I'll tell you right now, the greatest thing you can do, because most of the people here, most of them, not all, have been saved here in this ministry and baptized in the church. Others have been saved down the road and came to this church. But the truth of the matter is you bring people into the church, they get saved. You bring them in, they get saved. Why? Because they're never around people like yourselves. They're not around the singing like that and the playing like that and the praising like that and the preaching like that. They're not around that, and they hear it and it does something to them and it changes them. He cared more about our souls. You know who else cared? Jesus. You know, Jesus had last days when he was on the cross. Remember that? The last days of Jesus Christ, the last words of Jesus Christ, he thought about you. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Everything he did was for you, for me. Everything he did was for us. Yeah, amen to that. Let me ask you a question and I'll finish. Do you care about the church? Do you care about your family? Do you care about your neighbors? I want you to care about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to care about the Bible. And two more verses and we'll finish. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 2 says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's chapter 3. It's good enough. I like it. Chapter 4. That's, either way, Timothy's a short book and can be all of them. He said, when he says, preach the word, look in verse 3. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Is that time now? Is that time now? Is it time with you now? It says, for after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, what they want to hear. And they'll turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What he wants you to do is fight the good fight, finish your course, and keep the faith. Amen. The last words of a dying man, he cared about you, the church. And I care about you. And God cares about you. Jesus' last words were about you. And I'm here right now. People in this room care about one another. And when you're not here, I'm just telling you, when you're not here, it hurts the church. But when you are here, the church is stronger. The church is better. Is it true, Anton? Wednesday night, when there's, you know, we like last Sunday and the Sundays before, we usually have, the church is usually full. But on Sunday, there's always the same 25 people. You know what I mean? But when we reach around 30, it gets exciting. Doesn't it get exciting? When we reach around 30 people, it gets exciting. Kate has a church got 62 million people in it. I'm only kidding. But even then, they have a full church on Sunday morning. Sunday night's not full, is it? And Wednesday night's not full, is it? I know. It's like, what's going on with the church? They're not fighting a good fight. They're not fighting. You're just coming in a couple rounds and leaving. Kate, would you please come on up and save these people from my preaching? But the last days, what will you care about in the last days? I'm here to tell you right now that you should care about your family. You should care about your friends. You should care about your faith. Do you care about your faith? Because it is your faith that's going to keep you through the rest of it. As Faith gave a great testimony about how she was ready to give up. You had to look at your name, didn't you? I am Faith. Amen. You got to keep your faith. You have to keep your faith. Stay strong. Fight the good fight. God bless you. This altar's open while she's singing. If anybody wants to come and pray, call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. In your heart, Jesus.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. When my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.